This is a special breaking news update from Up First and NPR News. This number is not surprising, yet is still stunning. Last week, in one single week, more than 3 million Americans filed for unemployment benefits. There is no occasion on record when so many people lost their jobs in a single week. Other economic crises have unfolded over months or years, not this. NPR correspondent Jim Zaroli covers business and economics and is on the line. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Steve, or I guess not such a good morning.
Well, not such a good morning, and it hasn't been such a good week for many people. How much bigger is this number than the previous record?
It's really just a staggering number, and it's much worse than people thought. I mean, this is by far a record number of people losing their jobs in a single week. It is five times as much as we saw during the worst week of the Great Recession. In March 2009, we hit 665,000 first-time unemployment claims. This is way bigger than that. So the number of jobs lost last week is really just like nothing we've seen before.
Stating the obvious, every part of the economy is losing here, but some parts of the economy must be hurting worse than others.
Yeah, the losses have affected all kinds of jobs, and that's, you know, because we have a multi-layered complex economy. But a few industries have been especially hard hit, like transportation, especially airlines, energy, restaurants, hotels. So we're seeing places like Florida and Nevada that depend on tourism hit really hard because nobody's traveling right now. A trade group for the hotel industry says it probably lost a million jobs since this crisis began. The head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, was on the Today Show this morning, and he said, we may well be in a recession, but he says we could rebound quickly.
What's happening here is people are being asked to close their businesses, to stay home from work, and to not engage in certain kinds of economic activity. And so they're pulling back. And at a certain point, we will get the spread of the virus under control. And at that time, confidence will return. Businesses will open again. People will come back to work.
Well, that is one view of the future, I suppose, Jim Zaroli, that hopeful scenario that this is a disruption that does not change everything permanently and permanently shift the direction of the economy. But there he is, using the word recession. And wasn't this a very strong economy or imagined to be a very strong economy just 1 month ago?
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, remember before the virus struck, we were in the middle of a really strong job market. We had a 3.5% unemployment rate in February. Now the St. Louis Fed is saying we could see unemployment go to 30% in the next month or so, though they say it will come down pretty quickly.
I just want to mention, Jim Zaroli, I don't think unemployment numbers were quite so reliable at the beginning of the Great Depression, but it said that unemployment then was perhaps 25%. That was the Great Depression, and we're suddenly at a moment where it might be 30%, at least according to that one forecast.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, these are numbers that we didn't see during the worst of the Great. We've never seen numbers like this. Now, the good thing is, it's happened really quickly, and it should recover pretty quickly. I spoke to Adam Hill of Worcester, Massachusetts, who worked until recently as a graphic designer at a company that does trade shows. He says as recently as a few weeks ago, the company was having a really good year.
Then all of a sudden, it's just this show canceled, and then another one, and another one, and it was within 2 weeks, I think 155 shows had canceled. I guess I wasn't too surprised when we got laid off.
He says he'll be brought back when the job market improves, but he doesn't know when.
Jim, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That's NPR's Jim Zaroli.
I want to bring in David Wessel now. He's the director of the Hutchins Center at the Brookings Institution, and he wrote a book called In Fed We Trust about the Great Recession. David, good morning.
Good morning.
What do these numbers today tell us about the depth of this recession?
Well, this is one of the first official economic measures to show just how severe the recession is in the opening innings. I mean, back of the envelope estimates I've seen is that this increase alone translates into a 2 percentage point increase in the unemployment rate. And this is clearly the tip of the iceberg. Surely more workers will be laid off or furloughed this week. And until this bill that's working its way through Congress is signed into law, there's lots of workers without paychecks who aren't eligible for unemployment benefits, although they will be when the law is signed.
We just heard NPR's correspondent Jim Zaroli say this happened quickly and hopefully it will bounce back quickly. I want to ask a slightly darker question. You mentioned that this might be the tip of the iceberg. I hate to use this word, but we have seen responsible economists do so in some cases. If this goes on longer, might we be looking at a depression in this country?
Well, I don't want to say never, but here's the reasons why I don't think we're on that in that trajectory.
Okay.
One is the underlying productive capacity of the economy has been shut down, but it hasn't been permanently handicapped. I mean, there are planes will fly again, restaurants will open again. But secondly, and most importantly, the government has responded very quickly to this horrible event. The reason the Great Depression was so bad is that fiscal and monetary policy was wrong. They strangled the economy instead of supporting it. So we've had the Fed, which has this playbook, how not to have a Great Depression, doing all sorts of things. I mean, Jay Powell said today that the $454 billion that Congress is giving the Fed to be a kind of a lot to handle loans will allow the Fed to raise, to lend $4.5 trillion. And then Congress has passed a $2 trillion bill here. So there's a lot being done. And I think that will prevent another Great Depression.
We've learned lessons from the past. That's I appreciate that optimism. Do you think the government will need to do more beyond the $2 trillion financial aid package that we're expecting the president to sign?
Yes, I think they probably will. A lot depends, of course, on the course of the virus. One of the things that makes this hard for economists and Federal Reserve policymakers to talk intelligently about is you really can't know what the economy is going to be like unless you know when the virus is going to recede. But in the conversations I had yesterday, particularly state and local governments are going to get hit really hard by this. They're going to get less revenue and they're going to spend more. And it's likely, it seems to me, that we will have to do more for them. The unemployment benefit extension that the Congress passed or is in the process of passing goes 39 weeks. Usually in recessions, they extend it beyond that. So I think it's almost certain that Congress will have to go back and do more before this thing is over.
We're putting a lot of stock in these unemployment numbers, and there's good reason for that. But economists will often tell you there's more than one indicator that you have to keep an eye on in a time like this. What other indicators should we be watching right now?
It's a good question because a lot of the government indicators are telling us what happened before the coronavirus hit. So like we'll get the unemployment numbers on Friday, April 3rd, but they'll be for the week of March 12th. And that was before the worst came. So I think there are a couple of things to watch. One is there are a huge number of private sector indicators. OpenTable is telling us what's happening to restaurant reservations. There's a firm that follows people's cell phones and says what's happening to traffic at airports and malls. So those are important. And then early next week, we get the purchasing manager surveys, which are kind of an impression that you get from businesses about how they're doing. And that'll be important to watch because it's an early indicator.
David Wessel of Brookings, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thanks for listening to this special update. You can go to npr.org or tune into your local NPR station for live coverage of this developing story.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Texas Children's Hospital. Texas Children's Hospital has made it their mission to provide the best possible care for kids, from common ailments to the most complex conditions. Learn more or make an appointment at texaschildrens.org.